their backs are to a wall and they're looking at a wall as well. So they're like chained to a wall and they're looking at a wall. And there are these people behind them and there's a fire and these people behind them have these little sticks and they're like showing, they're casting shadows of things. So like they're like, they got this little stick that looks like a house. And so the people chained in the cave are staring at the shadows. So they're seeing a shadow of a house, thinking it's a house, right? They're like, oh, that's a house. But really, they're seeing a shadow of the house. That is you, Haley.
Welcome to Spinsters, the podcast where we sanitize regularly. I don't know why. Like, if I could get in a time machine and travel back into time and establish that the intros are something you would do, like, that would be my one thing. Not even, like, to the biggest regrets of my life. Not to the things I've messed up. Not to the things in the, when I'm trying to sleep and I can't sleep. And I'm like, why did you say that to in third grade? She's never going to forget it. That's probably all she tells people about you now. I would not go back to that moment. I would go back to this moment where I told you I'll do these intros. God, I'm Haley O'Shaughnessy.
And I'm Jordan Liggins. You're doing great.
Thanks. Do you have any housekeeping that you want to do before we get started?
Well, we have a couple things. So we have, first, if you missed last week, we had our very first guest host in Kristen Ledlow. She did amazing. It was so much fun. We talked about different hot takes. So if you missed that episode, make sure to go back and listen to that. And we also have some really fun narratives coming up that I'm really excited about. I'm working on a couple. We've had some wonderful contributors putting forth their ideas. So I can't wait for you guys to listen to them.
Yeah, we do. We have a lot of good reporting and fun things coming up. And what else? If you have not subscribed to Basketball Feelings yet, which is Katie Heindel's newsletter, do that. Her last two posts just blew me away. She's just a really talented writer, and it's a fun way to consume basketball. And I promise you, it's not a way you're consuming it right now. The way she looks at the game is just, really amazing. And I think that's about it. Oh, no, wait. Like and no. This isn't a tweet. If you like this podcast, please leave us a review. Period. End of sentence.
Thank you in advance for all of your reviews. Okay. And make sure to rate our Spinsters if you love it.
Okay, let's get into it.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So the Suns and the Warriors play this week.
They do. They play twice.
I feel like I should say, that's actually the biggest deal this week. I should have said that with more gusto. But like I said, I'm staying with my aunt and uncle in Kentucky, and they are amazing and in their 70s, and the heat is like 75 right now. So I'm slowly fading.
Don't fade.
Actually, in my mind, I said the Suns and the Warriors play this week, and I like screamed it. I'm just sinking slowly into the chair.
No, I'm in Chicago right now at my sister's house. I've been here for like 3 weeks, actually. It's been a while. I've been here for a long time. I'm basically a Chicagoan. Chicagoan? Chicagoan. That sounds more right.
Chicagoan.
Chicagoan. But it's freezing outside, so I'm okay. Yes, I am. I'm going to the Bulls and Hornets game. and Ball Brothers against each other. And the tickets were great. I'm like, wow, anywhere outside of LA, you can actually watch a live basketball game for a normal ticket. I was very happy.
What are you going to say when you see LeVar?
I'm going to say that, okay, first of all, wait, backstory. We've been watching like movie nights here with the whole fam is in town, and we watched King Richard, and it was wonderful. It's the movie about, you know, Serena Williams and Venus Williams' dad. And my boyfriend had a wonderful point. That was the original LeVar Ball. He was the original LeVar Ball. He was saying that his kids were going to be great. Nobody believed him. He was in the media. He was going crazy. And then it turned out true. And that's what LeVar did. And I just thought that was a great point. So I'm going to go and say you and King Richard should be great friends. And is Will Smith also going to play you in your movie? That's what I'm going to say.
Had Richard Williams had the vision to have a little bit more alliteration, and he would have been recognized as the first LeVar. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I'm with you. Who will play LeVar in their movie in 30 years when they've all, including LaMelo, won multiple championships? Ooh, beyond basketball, too, just like all kinds of championships, food competitions, NBA championships, etc. I think it'll still be Will Smith, honestly.
I was just going to say that. It's still going to be Will. It's still going to be Will. He's going to be like 70 years old. And
I don't know if I can take another press run from Will Smith. Oh, my God. I don't want to know about your sex life anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you see the quote where he was talking about he had sex with so many women that he was – I'm in my aunt's house. I can't.
Redacted.
I can't.
Retreat.
I can't tell if it's being like 130 degrees in here or if I'm just paranoid from childhood, but I don't want them to overhear me talking about Will Smith's orgasms. So anyway, the Suns and the Warriors play this week twice. We are very excited. Tuesday it's in Phoenix, and then Friday it's in California.
In San Francisco. Yep.
And then they play again on Christmas.
They do. Which is good. And I like what Steph was asked about it after this last game. And I think he put it in a good frame of mind of like, this is a good test, you know, good test for both teams. And that we're 20 games in. I feel like when we, at the beginning of the season, we were like, oh, it's so early. It's too early to say. This is a good test right now to see if the Suns are for real, if the Warriors are for real. And is this going to be a preview of the playoffs? And so I think I'm actually really excited for it. Not a lot of pressure, but also like a lot of pressure.
Well, yeah, I think for both of them, too, the Warriors have been a pleasant surprise, which is interesting because I feel like I dedicated so much energy before this season to just saying don't make it so the end goal being a championship is necessary for you to enjoy this.
Yeah.
To all the Warriors fans in my life. And I do feel like they came around to that because Steph is still fun to watch. He's one of those players where even if your team is terrible or just okay, I guess terrible still, I'm holding it to like Warriors dynasty expectations. Just like pretty okay or good. Mm-hmm. You don't have to lay the pressure on, and he can still be extremely entertaining, the pressure of, like, winning it all. But then, all of a sudden, they're, like, the most sure shot to get out of the West.
Yeah. I know. I feel like it kind of came – and I don't want to say it came out of nowhere, but now that we're here, it's like, okay, they're going to win it all. Like, everyone's like, I would rather bet on Steph than not.
I mean, with the current situations right now, so many teams have injuries. Mm-hmm. We just saw this morning Michael Porter Jr. is going to be out the rest of the season. So many teams, like the Bucks, have not been completely healthy. The Sixers, you know, Embiid. So it's kind of like in the landscape right now. Yeah, they've looked fantastic. These two teams have been two teams that it's been very easy to believe in the West. kind of because of process of elimination, but also they've been spectacular. We shouldn't just act like these are here just because they're their defaults. With Steph, like, yes, I think we could have expected this, even though every time you watch him, it kind of feels like the first time again. It's with everyone else on that team that I think I'm surprised by, because when they succeeded in the dynasty, it was like, yes, they had so much talent, but it almost felt like the energy was like in scarcity mode, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And now they're pulling from guys who are doing things that I did not know they could still do. Like Draymond Green, for example. Draymond Green, Andrew Wiggins. I just did not expect these guys. I didn't think they'd ever be capable of quite this, which
again
is exactly the perfect fit that they need. I mean, Draymond is 31. His offense has been progressively worse for you. Actually, I don't want to say progressively because that sounds like it's fading away. It was so much more alarming than that. It was like, you know how those videos of icebergs? And it's like, this iceberg has broken off and it will never be returning again because of global warming. Like, that was his offense. I was just like, wow, this is like really going fast. You know, it's not even like he ever had the most to offer. Certainly not of that, of, you know, their best lineup ever, of the death lineup. But it was like, you just need a whiff of something. Like the threat of a whiff that you can do something and that will help Steph out. But now that is like, that is actually exactly what they need. For me, it's less about others contributing massively to that offense with the Warriors as it is selling the illusion of contributing enough. Just so that Steph can capitalize. Yeah, and that's it's the same with Wiggins. Like, you don't need him to be the number two guy. You don't need him to give even what Clay can give.
Just be a threat. And, like, that's what it seems like he is again, which is surprising.
He is not the main character, and that's how this is best serving him.
Yes.
Yes. 100%. But it's funny because a lot of his old tics are still there. But he's still not. One night he's shooting 5 for 15, and the night before he shot, you know, 12 for 19. Like, it's just the things that were there that were frustrating are still there. Like, this is, I think, his worst assist year.
They just need to play the Timberwolves every night.
Exactly. I'm not, but it just works with Wiggins because the expectations are lower.
Yes.
Because he's surrounded by this guy who can take on the gravity of all these other things. And that's just, that's the power of Steph. That's why, I mean, watching them is so much fun. But I don't want to diminish what everyone else is doing. Wiggins, Draymond, Poole. Like, Poole, everyone is doing an exceptional job. I do think it's just really about appreciating the fact that Steph is being this guy still is the reason that they can do it. Whereas with the Suns, I think I have a different perception issue with them than I did with the Warriors of being, well, they were great and that was your standard. So now lower your standard, but actually, I guess you don't have to lower it anymore. With the Suns, it's kind of, with the Suns, it's like, okay, they had a bit of the heat in them. From the year before where you went to the finals, it was such a surprise that should we expect you to really come back this strong? But there was no reason to not, I think, except for the same doubts you had leading into the playoffs before they even made the finals. You don't have a top tier, top shelf superstar. Like, and I love Devin Booker. He's not Giannis. Do you know what I mean? That's not a slight to him. It's just saying,
definitely.
People are going to perceive your team differently. It's this belief that a team has to be set up in a formulaic way to win, where you've got these 1 to 2, like, massively, they're on every single Nike campaign guys. And that's not the way the Suns are. And because I think that's been ignored a bit, what's being overlooked is that they are one of the most complete teams, if not the most complete team right now in the NBA.
And my question is, like, how much do we as fans, but also as people of the quote-unquote media, how much do we buy into winning streaks? Because it's like 16 games. That's a lot. And that's crazy. And I feel like nobody's talking about it. Like, you can ask any random person. Nobody even knows.
Didn't you say your dad?
When my dad told me? Didn't even know. He's like, wait, the Suns are good? Wait, what? Like, is this not the finals again? Wait, what? What's happening? So it's like, how much can we buy into that? Like, this is a general, a real question, because you look at the Warriors and they do have the best record, and it's, they have lost a couple, literally a couple, two games, and it's not been a full streak, but they're still great. And then you have other teams, you know, Brooklyn's still doing well, the Bucks are doing okay. Why is it that the streak is so important? And why is it, you know, we're talking about this matchup because the Warriors could break the streak, but they're still going to be good. Like, next week, they're still going to be a good team. So why do you think that is?
I just feel like it's the chance, the enormity of this is the chance to finally pit these two teams who are both in different ways, but are both surprises,
mm-hmm.
and say who's the better out of the two. With streaks, like you were saying, I have seen a couple people say, well, the Suns haven't been playing the best teams, you know, on their way to it. But you can't, I mean, they didn't make the schedule. You can't knock them for
exactly.
that. I think that they do have lasting power, though. I think the Warriors have lasting power, too. I mean, the Warriors, at this point, I'm going to stop bringing up Klay coming back, because let's just focus on who they are right now, and what they're able to do, just because you never know. And might as well appreciate them for this. But with the Suns, like any team, and this applies to the Warriors as well, with great defense, that's just really seemed to figure out other teams, I think has real lasting power. And with the Suns, I think what surprised me is like how well JaVale fits, but that's not even like a actually, you know what? The thing I really implore people to watch, and what we should all be watching for Tuesday and Friday, is that what you said? Tuesday and Friday, but also just in general with the Suns, is Mikal Bridges. Like, that has been my takeaway from, I think, every Suns game, more than, you know, Aiden, Booker, Chris Paul. Like, he has been so stunning on defense. And I was playing tag with my little cousins the other day. My aunt has a three grandkids, all boys under 10.
Good luck.
I'm sleeping great. And we were playing tag the other day, and I was literally thinking, like, you know when you're playing tag and you have to judge, I can't run for him because he's right here, and you've kind of got to, like, Mikal could win every single game of tag that he ever wanted to. And that's a bit how his defense works, because he's so long, like, that's the first thing, but I don't even like to focus on that too much because it ignores how smart he is. His positioning is, again and again, so helpful, but like three steps ahead. And if you're going to be that guy who's like, in football, watch the offensive line because you can see where everything's about to go, in this game with the Suns, watch Mikal, because what he's focusing on will be ultimately what the Warriors are trying to pull out to beat them.
And it's that responsibility of, like, you know, guarding the best player every night. No, kind of no matter the position. Like, he's guarding KD one night, and then he's guarding, you know, Randle just this past weekend when they did the back-to-back in New York. And it's like, that is what you're going to get from him. And I was reading the Athletic, and the writer actually put it in a really good way. He is the best, fourth best player in the league. If that makes sense. Like, on
That's interesting.
On a roster, you're not going to say he's the guy. He's kind of not the second guy. He's kind of not the third guy, but he's like
he's
best
Draymond.
Fourth guy. Yeah.
That's interesting.
And I like that too, cuz Draymond is that defensive stopper, and he also brings the energy, and I think of Bridges as that as well.
Yeah, that's a good point. He'll definitely take Steph Curry.
Yeah.
And who knows? Steph will take who's easiest. I actually haven't thought that.
Yeah, we don't gotta talk about that.
Whoever can conserve the most energy by him guarding, it probably won't even be Chris Paul. No. All right. Well, I'm excited for that.
Me too.
I'm excited to get your texts from the Hornets game tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, we're recording this Monday. I'll have died of heat stroke in the Kentucky winter by Tuesday morning. I wanted to, before we do anything else, go into this ick bag.
Ick bag. Wanna,
I was on the fly trying to think of a way to say mailbag with icks in
it. I love it.
Okay.
Ick bag. Is this like a tote? Is this a purse? What kind of bag is it?
Well, if it's icky.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to judge. I almost just said... I'm not going to judge.
Hey, what's up, guys? Jordan Liggins here. TickPick should be your first choice to buy basketball tickets because they save fans money by never charging any service fees ever. TickPick is an exclusive ticketing partner for Spinsters and the Blue Wire Network. NBA basketball is finally back, and there is no need to exhaust yourself searching all over the internet to find NBA tickets anymore. Because TickPick, that's T-I-C-K-P-I-C-K, is the original no-fee ticket site and the only one you'll ever need as your go-to for all NBA tickets. I'm actually super excited because I'm about to go visit my sister in Chicago and we're gonna go to a Bulls game and, hey, I'm gonna check out TickPicks for the best tickets on the market. I know they're gonna be the best price, I know it's gonna be easy and no service fees. Visit tickpick.com/spin today to save $10 on your first order of NBA tickets. tickpick.com/spin.
So like 2 weeks ago, we were doing a podcast and I think I brought up icks, like because of Kelly Oubre.
Yes, yes.
Kissing, like kissing the air after or blowing a kiss. Sometimes he says it's to the air, but it's like directly at the bench of the opposite team.
Or the player he just scored on.
If you don't know what an ick is, because I asked for some of these like basketball icks, but an ick in general is something that turns you off from a person. So generally like used in a romantic sense. And I wanted to come up with some more examples of like just regular ones before we went into it, just in case that doesn't make sense, because every time I've brought this up to one of my friends who's like 35 plus, they're kind of, they don't exactly know what I'm talking about. So I texted my most toxic group chat and asked them for their icks just before this. So I'm just gonna read. It was like too fast. Like honestly, it was like they had it like already. They were typing it
in their notes.
I said, "What are your icks, just in general?" And my friend said, "Is this like when owned a couch and I couldn't hook up with him anymore?"
Mm.
And I was like, "Yeah, he doesn't own a couch. That's
that's it."
Which is like, icks aren't always red flags. I think normally they're actually not. It's
that's
just,
what I was going to say. What's the difference? Because I feel like those are two things kind of circling around. Like, what's the difference between an ick and a red flag?
A red flag is like, this is something I see now that will eventually turn into something worse, or is a sign of behavior that will end up being very bad. An ick is more like, I don't know if I'm attracted to you anymore.
Yep.
You know? So
Got it.
Another example that came in like literally 20 seconds after I sent the text out was flat pillows. And this came from two people right in a row. Yeah.
Interesting. You know, like
the lone flat pillow. So now those were two of them. I don't even know how to read this one. But I saw this one the other day when he eats something still hot and steaming and he starts doing the hush, hush, hush. Yeah.
I know exactly where that was going. Oh my God.
Embarrassing.
Wait, my nephew who is 1.5, like that's like his favorite word is hot. And so he like blows on his food before, but it's like, hot. That's like a kid thing.
Yeah. Ugh. Well, exactly. And that's why it's kind of like, you're like, you're a grown up, you know? Anyway, so those are some icks. Just for reference.
Okay. I'm so excited for these NBA ones.
Yeah. I first saw this get brought up, not with basketball, just in general, from this podcast that's on TikTok. It's these two British guys. I hesitate sharing it just because I almost didn't share the video of them with you because I don't really know their all-encompassing podcast.
Yeah.
You know, tone. Like, it's very easy to find humor in this, 2011 male humor, heterosexual couple, guys doing weird things is funny. But yes. I don't know, otherwise they might be problematic. I don't know. I Googled their podcast title and it said number one podcast in Germany and Johannesburg. And I'm like, that feels like a really weird, fan base to have in common.
That is very
dark
specific.
History there, but actually that was a different podcast called Shits and Giggles. This one's called Shits and Gigs, and the I in shit is an X. So
okay,
and I'm not recommending them. I'm not right, not recommending not them. Like, I laughed at the video, but I don't know. Like, it's too dangerous. Know.
And that's TikTok, literally. You go into one video and that's the thing you think is funny. And you're like, this video is funny. I'm not referencing everything that they do.
I know, because you really need to look.
Yeah.
Gotta do your homework. The whole, don't meet your heroes thing, I don't even want to Google them. Like, I don't want to know them. I don't want to Google them.
It's a great point.
I don't want to know about what they do in their spare time. Like, I don't want to. Sometimes I get this with basketball players. I'm like, I used to want to know so much more. And now I just... If I have an affection for you of any sort, I really don't want to know more information.
Yeah.
And that's been my dating life lately. okay. So anyway, ask for basketball icks because we gave maybe just the one, but I was thinking about them afterwards. And oh yeah, Steph's mouth guard.
Yes.
I hate Steph's mouth guard. Mm-hmm. Draymond, when he does little jumps that barely get any airtime.
It's really bad.
Were there other ones? I remembered afterwards. I hate when a guy is going to sit down on the bench, but then he misses the seat. Now that's only happened four times in the NBA.
I see that happen. Yeah,
but that happens a lot in college. Yeah,
it happens a lot in college. Yeah.
Someone actually sent one in that says this guy has no avi, no name that makes sense. In their handle, but he says, why are the benches so crowded? Guy makes $50 million per year and can't get a full seat on the bench.
Okay, but seriously. Yes. And when you look at, arenas that sell tickets at the end of the bench, it's like, those are the worst seats in the house. Why do you want to sit there? Because these 7-foot guys are squished together. I bet they miss when they could spread out. I bet they loved that.
Yeah,
when it
exactly.
was a couple years ago.
I agree. Be on a worse team, and that's a unexpected benefit. You get to sit.
You get a little more leg room.
Exactly. Okay, so here's some of the basketball icks that we got sent into us. I'm just going to read these to you. Okay, you know what kept coming up was licking the fingers. Anything mouth related. Which is actually something that's it's generational because okay, so you know how Jamal Murray licks his fingers as a, it's a celebratory thing?
No. After and he again, makes we're talking a about shot?
On the court. I'll send you a video. This is from our friend Ashton. She suggested this. But then, people kept commenting this. Gary said Steve Nash licking his hands and having greasy hair made my mom hate the sun.
Yes. Yes. Oh, okay. That was a four-finger lick. He would go straight down, swoop the bangs back, and his hair was like a wet dog.
Yeah.
It was so gross.
Yeah, it was disgusting. Yeah. Oof. This person sent in.
My memory had that in it still.
Because you repressed it. That's what we call repressed memories. Yeah. People do that when they're kidnapped and sent to a satanic cult.
Same thing.
Satanic cults. Steve Nash. I'm just kidding. The satanic cult thing's not true. I listened to a debunking podcast on it, but that is true. You repressed that memory.
I sure did.
Someone sent in my college bio lab, we had a competition to find the grossest thing to swab. Doorknobs, bathroom fixtures, yoga mats, etc. that grew the most bacteria in a petri dish. I won because I swabbed a basketball. So think about all of the...
Oh!
Yeah.
Oh!
It's not even just... It's so much more than it's, oh, it's your celebration, you know, your Jamal Murray, Steve Nash, thank God. He's not doing that when the Nets score anymore. But there's like people, think about like the licking of the hands and then they put it on their shoe.
On the shoe.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they'll, or yes. like, and then think about like when sometimes players slap the ground, ugh. Like, oh, I'm playing defense, which it in itself.
I know.
Is an ick.
It's just it's
play
bad.
Defense. You don't have to make a whole show about it. Yeah.
See, just don't. You know. I've been guilty of that before. Sometimes you just get riled up and you just made a couple baskets in a row. So you're slapping the floor. But you right after you do it, it's like instant regret. You're like, this, people saw me do that. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. It's just there's a lot of don't touch nothing near the mouth. I guess wearing it's gloves. Just basically, yeah, wear gloves. Well, I mean, it made me think about, like, you know, have you ever seen someone lick their fingers and then go to the grocery bags and, like, in the yes. grocery and separate them?
That's disgusting.
That's what that made me think about. Yeah. It's gross. Anthony Davis, this is another one that was sent in, sniffs his fingers before the free throws.
No. You're lying.
Yeah.
How have I not noticed this stuff?
What do you think that's about? What do you think that's about?
He's, instead of the licking, he's like, okay, how much bacteria do I have? So far, and just does a whiff.
Yeah, he's just doing a bacteria check.
I feel like he would do the licking of the finger and then, like, you know, do the unibrow thing. Like, lick his fingers and then, like, put it over his eyebrows.
The unibrow used to be an ick for me, and then he stood so strong with it that I'm like, you know what?
I prefer it's his brand now.
Yeah,
I know. It's a risky brand.
Transcended the ick. Yeah, it is a risky brand, but... Good for him. Actually, going off of free throw routines.
Okay.
There were a couple. Have you seen, this is from Nick. Have you seen Alperen Şengün, the Rockets rookie, shoot a free throw?
I don't think I have.
I actually need to send this to you. Hang on. Okay, I don't have this one pulled up. This is fucking nuts, Jordan.
As we're looking it up, though, the most bizarre free throw routine is this girl I used to play basketball with. And she was a lefty, and she would go to all the way to the left side of the free throw line. So, like, right in the corner. And she would shoot her free throws from there. And it made everyone in the gym so uncomfortable because it just looks so weird. It's so weird.
Would she make them?
Yeah, but it made me uncomfortable. Okay, I'm watching this video. No. Is he licking the basketball?
No, it's even worse.
Oh, he's talking to it.
Yeah.
He's talking to it. Okay. All right.
I thought the first time he was doing this that he was, like, praying. Like, he was...
Yeah, that's what I thought.
So, basically, what he does is he holds the ball in his hand and he, like... He's, like, rubbing it, and then he's, like, looking at the basket, but he's talking to the ball. So he's, like,
yeah.
it's honestly really weird, and it feels a little bit sexual. If he is praying, now I feel, like, bad for saying that. But he's, like, looking at the basket, rubbing this basketball. It's just really weird. And you know what? It's not even worth it because he's shooting 66%.
Like, yeah, I was going to say, what's that percentage? I think it's more – maybe this is my positivity, but it's like self-talk. He's like, hey, basketball, I know you're getting bounced around a lot, you're having a rough day, but, like, do me a solid, go in. Mwah.
And then, yeah, I mean,
66% of the time it works.
He's, like, this far away from it. It's really close to his mouth.
So close. That's why I thought he was kissing it.
Yeah,
or licking it.
I've never seen anything like that before.
No.
But I am excited about him as a player. So
yeah.
I guess we'll see more of this. I don't know if anybody's asked him what he's saying to the ball?
What he's saying? Yeah, that's what that was my first question. What are you saying? Can we know? Is it secret? Is it in English? You know, is it like something that he's grew up saying? I have so many questions.
The way that he does it too, because you were just saying, oh, like self-talk, you know, like a pep talk. It just doesn't look like it. Like, it genuinely looks like he's talking to the ball.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. Ooh. Okay. Other icks. Jake says, mine are tattoo base. I don't care for Steph's wrist tattoo, but the one I really don't like is Wilson Chandler's neck tattoo of a baby. I just hope it's his baby.
Can you imagine walking down the street? That is a cute ass baby. Get that tattooed on my neck right now.
We actually got two other ones specifically just about baby tattoos.
Oh, gosh.
This person says, any and all baby tattoos, including but not limited to Nick Young's. I love babies, but this doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
Where do you stand on baby tattoos?
You know, I always had a strong stance against baby tattoos, especially the, like, footprints or handprints. One, if you have multiple kids, they're going to feel left out if you don't also put them on your body. Mm. So if you have a lot of kids, you have a mural of footprint, baby footprints on your back, and that's just a little odd. Or you have their mural, like their photo, and they're going to grow up and be like, that's weird that you have my baby picture on your body. I'm against it.
Let's go into your hypothetical a little bit more. You get your first baby tattooed on your neck. And it's a really cute baby. I mean, the baby on his neck, although it is a baby tattoo, cute baby. You have a second baby, cute baby. Awesome. You probably put it on the back shoulder.
Yeah.
Right. Although if your neck's tattooed, neck. I'm going to guess your left back shoulder is tattooed. You don't usually go for the neck right away.
Yeah.
Maybe you did though. Okay. Third child. It's a surprise baby. You weren't expecting it. You guys are like mid-40s, but you're excited. You've still got savings. You know, it's a good situation. Baby comes out. You're thinking about where you can get it. Maybe like the calf.
Yep.
Calf, great place for a head. It's not a cute baby. Mm. Not all babies are cute, and giving them this pressure that they need to be cute is the issue.
Tattoo-worthy cute. Yeah.
You talk to any nurse who works. What is it called, Jordan, when you like in your you work in the area where they deliver babies? What is that called?
Like OB, labor and delivery.
Yes. I have a friend who I will not name by region, name, first name, last name, anything.
She's called out ugly babies.
She was like, you have no idea how ugly some babies are. And I'm not even talking about right away. I'm talking about like through infancy. So let's say, I'm going to wait to get this baby tattooed until, you know.
The features start growing in. Yeah.
14 months. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Might not happen still to that baby. Hope.
Wow. That's when you go footprints maybe?
That's the risk.
Yeah, that's the risk. That's
and risky. Then you say maybe footprints. Then you got a bunch of feet.
Then you got a bunch of feet. And what this also reminds me of, which is a huge ick for me because we're just talking about neck tattoos, is John Wall has his mom like right like by the throat, like right under his chin, just a huge portrait of his mother. And
when you are kissing John Wall, you are kissing his mother
at the same time.
Yeah,
it's really uncomfortable. And I don't think he really, really thought that through. It's also just like right under your face. It's just too many faces.
Yeah.
You already see your face and here's a whole other face right under your face.
I like the symbolism of it. But
it's
the practicality of it is pretty low.
It's too much.
I don't want to see other pictures of other people when I'm trying to concentrate on a person. Yeah.
It's like, what? What eyes do it? It's too much.
Would you prefer the classic mom heart tattoo on the neck in the same place? I think those honestly, are awesome. I love those.
Yeah. I think it's kind of, you know, it's funny, it's cute, but the detail, and like, you know how much he paid for that. Like, this is a detailed portrait of your mother. And I just think it's a bit much. It's a lot.
You have to wonder, like, does your mom like that?
I would not.
Like, I know my parents weren't happy when they found out about my first tattoo. And my first three tattoos were all mistakes. So it's like, you know what I mean? Like, did you go for the neck first? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. That's just.
I think of my brother getting a tattoo. I think his on his arm is like, I'm going to butcher it. I don't remember. But it's like a motivational quote. And I just remember my aunt being like, oh, that's a nice quote. You couldn't have just written it down. Like, why did it need to be on your arm?
I'm super pro tattoo, but but when you're putting somebody else, you're bringing someone else into this situation. You know what I mean?
I agree.
Hopefully with their, you know, hopefully John Wall's mom okayed that. But the baby definitely didn't okay that.
Babies did not.
They're going to have to turn 18 before they're like, yes, I'm of sound mind and I'm an adult enough to say, I didn't want to be tattooed on your back or your calf. I was not a cute baby. I'm not saying that. I'm saying the universal. I was a really cute baby.
Great baby. Cute baby.
Yeah, I can't relate to anything I was just talking about with other babies. I was a top tier baby. Okay, so let's move on. This one is from Chantal, who our producer Harry went to high school with, right?
Oh, cool.
Chantal, please send in just some dirt on Harry.
Yeah, leave a voicemail,
like, we have
please.
A lot already just because he's an open dude, but I would love to hear any indicting stuff. What was your superlative, Harry?
We went to this weird high school, Chantal and I, where our superlatives were Netflix categories. It was sort of stupid, not my decision, but
like the best documentary.
Yeah, exactly.
Top picks for today.
Number one in the U.S.
Who was like number one in Canada?
No, this is like a simpler time in the Netflix algorithm. This was like buddy comedy, you know, whatever. So I think mine was like feel good comedy with a dad in it. Something with a dad.
That tracks.
Yeah, actually, that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm like, that superlative actually played out.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Well,
what
I'm not
was
a
yours,
dad
Haley?
Yet.
Not a dad yet, but dad vibes.
Okay, yeah.
I think I was most likely to have a TV show and most likely to be president. What were you?
I was best dressed. You know what it is. I was best dressed. It was great. Great time. Everybody knew. It was wonderful. Highest achievement of my life.
Well, and to this day, every day you're living it out and making them proud at Sacramento High, wherever you went to school.
Close.
Okay, this is from Chantal. So she actually sent this in before I even asked for icks, which is amazing, forward thinking. Should probably replace our current producer. and then she quote tweeted, and well, it doesn't matter. Okay, this was her tweet. Listening to Spencer's today reminded me that my latest basketball ick was my realization that Steve Nash looks like Bart Bass.
Oh,
hang on. She had this side by side. I have to pull this up for you. This is so funny because it's so true. Yes. So doesn't this sound just like, or don't they look just alike?
They actually do.
I'm like,
and
who's
this
gonna...
is a good. These are good photos too. They're like making the same face. Oh, yeah. That's uncomfortable.
Yeah. I mean, they had to kill him off. That's how much people hated him. They hated Bart so much they killed him off.
Also, Bart, that's just a bad name.
Terrible name.
Oh, gosh. Okay, that's a good one. Thanks, Chantal. And send us dirt on Harry, please.
Did you see that Summer Walker? Sorry, Harry, you're going to have to cut. Did you see that Summer Walker got her new boyfriend's name tattooed on her head, and his name's Ralph.
No. No.
His name's fucking Ralph. Speaking of mistake tattoos.
No.
Swear to God. And he got Summer, which is cute. Summer, oh.
Summer, like, but really cute. Ralph,
it was like Bart, Ralph. Like, there's some names where you want to actually forget about them, that being your significant other name. Like, you give them a cute nickname. I've done that before. Because you don't want to think about it at all. Because you're trying to maintain a sense of romance with them and affection.
Wait, no. It's Larry.
Oh, that's even worse.
With one R. With one R. Larry.
With one R.
Yes.
Larry.
Larry. Is it Larry?
I thought it was Ralph.
Two R's? Oh, it might be two R's. It's two R's. It's two okay. R's. Sorry. It's a little crease by her
eye. So now, like, literally, I thought it was Ralph, but all day people on the internet were just making fun of the name Larry. And I was like, Larry's didn't ask for this. You know, they didn't need this. If you're a Larry, a Ralph, or a Bart.
God.
I don't know. Yeah.
Because here's the thing. If something happens.
Don't let your significant other get that tattooed.
If something happens in this relationship, he can totally play it off. Like, summer's my favorite season.
Summer, fall,
that's why
winter.
I have it on above my eyebrow. But
winter under Larry. The chin. Yeah.
Larry.
Larry. What are you going to.
Best case scenario, she can scratch out the A-R-R-Y and just put love or
L.
L. Life.
Or L.
Live, life,
yeah.
Love. L.
Live, laugh, Larry.
Some of my friends call me Larry. Live, laugh, Larry. That's funny.
Oh, yeah. Isn't it when
your name's Harry. Would you want someone to have Harry right by their eye? Like,
no,
on their face?
That. Yeah.
I love my name, too. And I still don't want to see it on someone's face. That's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have to love my name because I'm named after somebody. So I've never had a choice. Yeah, I'll tell you a story another time. Okay, Harry, you can keep that in, actually. I feel pretty passionate about the fact that Summer Walker should not have gotten that tattoo on her face. And
we were
it
talking
helps our
about
baby
tattoos. It fits.
Yeah, there you go. You can leave it in. Okay, do you want to do one more?
Yeah, let's do it. These have been great.
Actually, oh God, there's three more I really want to. I'll be quicker. Actually, there's four, but I'm not going to just pause me when we have to stop. Okay. Emily says, Kevin Love not being engaged to me. First of all, huge ick. I can't believe it.
Wow.
That would turn me off too. So yeah, that's fucked up, Emily. Aiden said, Enes Kanter running back on defense. But are you picturing? Like the way his fists they come all the way up to his head. He's running like he's
like
running
like
how
like,
I imagine an animator. Yeah. Like he's on the elliptical. Like his arms come fully and it just makes him slower. It made me think of Gorgui Zhang, like how he runs back completely straight. Like his back is not
great
moving,
posture.
Only his legs are. So he's just super slow. I've always said if he was just like 30% less stiff, he'd be a totally different player.
30%. Wow.
It's not his fault, though. Like, he does yoga all the time.
Yeah. Not his fault. What can you do?
We went to Louisville the same time. We have mutual friends. They would tell me, like, how much yoga he would do each stretch. But that guy just could not. He was running like he had a plank of wood. On his back, you know. And his candor is he's like, he's got the tall thing too where you don't look like completely normal doing anything because your limbs are just so long.
Abnormally long.
There's
yeah.
too much time, you know.
Yes.
What I mean, like, what do you do with the rest of the time? You've got to try to do movements way quicker than everyone else. It's like if you had a really like fast voice. No, actually, if you had a really slow voice and you knew you were going to speed the podcast up. So they're trying like super, you know what I mean? They're doing all these things at once just to try to look normal. And Enes Kanter's running down the court like this.
Oh my gosh.
Also, I mean, of all the things he should be bullied for.
that's the thing.
And it's and it's Cantor Freedom?
Yeah, and it's Cantor Freedom. Yeah.
Solid.
Solid.
Solid. Sure. they don't even have to change his last name when they do another Black Lives Matter NBA thing.
He already has it'll one
just,
on his
it'll
jersey.
Just be Freedom. Yeah, he already has one of the buzzwords.
There it is. Buzzwords.
what are they like? Freedom, equality.
Group economics.
Group.
What?
Okay. Corey says, players dramatically launching their heads backward at the risk of whiplash just for a chance to get a ticky-tack foul call. Robert Sarver. Oh, these are all different.
Wait, what? I was like, whoa.
He had a list.
Whoa.
Sorry. I was
like. Haley thing reading said. Tweets is a whole subcategory of this show. I love it.
Robert Sarver. Okay, there's a period. And then it says okay. Robert Sarver, comma, suction cup therapy bruise circle thingies.
Oh, that's a good. That's good. Yes.
So those are three separate thoughts. Now, as one thought. I'm not sure, but yeah, those are three separate things. The suction cup therapy thing, that is a huge ick of mine. Not that they're doing it. I'm so glad that you found something that works for you, but yes, it just looks weird.
Horrible. Yeah. It's like bruises in circle form all over your back, and it looks uncomfortable, and it looks like you're in pain.
Exactly. It looks like some kind of failure
of
self-care when you really are wrong. Just... apparently doing self-care for your muscles.
Yeah. Yes, I agree.
Yeah, I don't like it. It looks weird. and those are like in pictures.
Forever.
You know, forever. Like someone's at an award ceremony because swimmers always have them. Mm-hmm. And they'll be like accepting their gold medal and there's like a
bruise big old, on their arm.
Yeah. Perfectly circular bruise. I think bruises just don't look... The aesthetic changes when it's like an organized bruise.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, you can sense
it. Doesn't look as tough.
And it's in a circle. Yeah, exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. And then this one, Harry especially loves, but I think it's great too. Shoot. I forgot to find who put this one. They said Dallas Mavericks aesthetic. Just
the whole
in general.
Thing.
Just
the
in
colors.
General.
The city uniforms, the court. I'm sorry to all the Mavericks fans, but I'm sure it's an ick. I agree with
no,
that.
No, it is.
It makes me uncomfortable.
They're really, and they've revamped it a bunch of times the last like 15, 17 years,
I know.
And it still has
bad.
Maintained just a general like unappealingness.
Yeah.
What Harry likened it to was a 2015 Kia Sorento commercial, which I think is pretty
That is
pretty
so
accurate.
Specific.
Well, it's kind of like if you look at even the little logo, like the horse is so dramatic and like holding its head low and it almost feels like, oh my God, that War Horse movie. Did I ever tell you that? Do you remember my ex? He used to love War Horse and he would like make me, he'd be like, you have to watch it. You have to watch it. And like that we got, like that was our first, I think, legitimate fight. It was like, I didn't want to watch War Horse. And then it was like the thing where when I finally watched it, it was like, you know, he's looking at you the whole time. Like, are you enjoying the movie?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah.
That's how I feel like it would be if
God,
I.
That's over. Anyway,
if I finally watch, Portrait of a Fire, like you'd just be staring at me the whole time being like
Portrait of a Lady on Fire, first of all.
Sorry.
There's also Portrait of a Lady, which is a book, which is different. I'm actually reading that right now. It's really good. Yeah, I'm gonna let you watch that separately.
Okay.
But I will be texting you for updates.
Great. Got it.
Except you can't text during it because it's in French, so you have to read the subtitles.
Oh God. I'm anti subtitle.
I can come over and like I can act it out. I can do the dubbing. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I'll be like the dubbed.
The dubbed version.
I can do a higher pitch than what I do right now. I can do this.
Okay.
Believe it or not, I cannot really go that much lower than this right now unless I have a sore throat. And I can do a pretty good Tommy Henson.
Great.
And those are the only voices I could do.
Wonderful.
But
that would be entertaining.
We'll make it work.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. So I guess that's it for this week.
Those were wonderful. Wow. Those were
really good. And we didn't even get... There's like so many I wanted to get to. So,
oh, we're going to have to do this again. There's going to have to be a part two to the NBA X because these are wonderful. I love being surprised by these things because they're so good. Keep sending them in. Tell us your favorite NBA ick on our voicemail at 502-874-4453 or send us an email at spinsters@bluewirepods.com to be featured on the show.
Spinsters is hosted by me, Haley O'Shaughnessy, and Jordan Liggins. This episode was produced by Jordan, Isabel Jocelyn, Harry Krinsky, and Alex Ward. Our production coordinator is Devin Shepard, and our executive producers are Peter Moses, John Yales, and me.
Hi, Spencers. This is Greg from Philadelphia. The player that gives me joy and gives me the ick is actually the same person, and it's Joel Embiid. I love him so much. I love how, he came from not playing at all to being the guy and to being, the guy that represents this team so well. But at the free throw line, he picks his wedgie every time. It's just pretty crazy. So I love him, but also he's a little crazy. Happy birthday, Haley, and thanks.